I wanted to read over a couple of the verses that we read already last week that I believe are just hugely important. And it's in Luke chapter 6 at the end of that chapter. We just studied through this last week, and some people, as we talked about, believe that this was the Sermon on the Mount, the same exact one, and just another account. And all you know that the Gospels work like this. It's the life of Christ, essentially. It's a story about Jesus Christ and what he did when he was in ministry, specifically. And we have these four different Gospels, and they're all from different guys' perspectives. So because of that, you get different details. Just like at a crime scene, when you ask a bunch of different people who were around what happened, you're going to get a whole bunch of different stories because they saw different things. They remember things differently also. So you see certain differences with some of the miracles Jesus did, or you get different details would be a better way of putting it. But in Luke chapter 6, we have what looks like the Sermon on the Mount, except it's way shorter, like way shorter, and different in many ways. Different enough that many Bible scholars believe, and I tend to lean more this direction, that this is a different sermon altogether. Jesus probably was teaching the same principles, the same ideas to a similar group of people, but in a different place. This right before this sermon, we saw how it says that they went to the low place or the valley. I don't know about you, but when I'm on top of a mountain, hey guys, come on over. When I go on top of a mountain, I don't usually explain it as a valley or a low place because you're on top of a mountain. So the Sermon on the Mount is on a mount, and this sermon is given in a low place. So because of that and a couple other things that are different enough for us to say, this is probably just Jesus repeating himself. He's giving a similar sermon again, which isn't that far-fetched for any of us to believe. So what I want to bring our attention to is this gigantic thing that Jesus says at the end, starting in, let's say, verse 47, Luke 6:47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If you grew up in the church, you sang a song about this, maybe several. I know I did. My three-year-old sings a song about this all the time. But it is a great principle, and it's simply this. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Duh. You know, you want a sturdy foundation when you build a house. But Jesus isn't talking about carpentry. He's not literally telling you where to build your house so that it doesn't fall down. He's speaking figuratively about life, about you building your house upon the rock, Jesus Christ. He's talking about himself. And this is so huge because the storm, the stream that rises and beats vehemently against us, is in this world. As we go through life, we will come against storms, and they will beat vehemently against us. And you might be in the middle of one today. You might walk over here. I always want to say in here, but we're kind of outside. But you walked over from your car feeling just beaten up. You feel like you have been through it. And whatever the thing is, this life beats vehemently against us. The enemy has some part in that. The enemy, Satan, doesn't want us to do well in this life. As a matter of fact, we see the story of Job and the example of Job, a man who was upright and following the Lord with all of his heart, doing everything right, and yet the enemy said, I'm going to mess with him, and watch this, God. He's going to curse your name at the end of the day. But he didn't, did he? We see a lot of sketchy conversation in the book of Job, if you read it, from his friends telling him to you know, basically, what did you do, Job? What did you do wrong? You obviously are in sin. You obviously did something horrible. And even to the point that the person he cared about the most, his loving wife, said, Job, curse God and die. That's what his wife told him. What? Like, that's not real encouraging. That's not the encouraging wife that all of us men hope for someday. Job continued, though, to follow the Lord, and God blessed him for it, way above and beyond what he had originally. So the story of Job is huge, but it also gives us a little insight into what's happening on this earth. The enemy wants to mess with us, wants to cause us to curse God, wants us to walk away from Jesus Christ. And what Jesus says here is, the wise man builds his house upon the rock, upon me. And if you do that, when the enemy comes to beat against you, when this life comes and there are hard things that you have to go through, you're going to stand firm on me. You're going to experience a peace that passes understanding. Complete peace. Have you ever known another believer? Oftentimes, I've seen this in grandparents or parents or relatives that go through medical things. They go through tough medical situations that should be extremely painful and many times are, and are often even things that lead to death. And yet, somebody's lost, I guess. And yet, they have this smile on their face. They have this joy in their heart that just overflows. What's up with that? That's just weird. I mean, as the world, if you look at it from the world's perspective, a person who has terminal cancer and is going to die soon, for them to be joyful, it's either sick and wrong, or they don't really understand what's happening. But instead, we know that if you have your foundation on the rock, if you have Jesus Christ as the center of what you're doing, you won't be shaken, and you can have joy in the middle of hard things. Amen? Man, the Lord is so good, and Jesus is saying, build your house upon me. I want to bring up something that, without exposing her too much, Ashley, who's always here, just found out that her grandmother has been given 3 days to live. That is so rough. She's been going through a lot of medical things, but the doctor said 3 days, like today, like this afternoon, like tonight. Like, she's not here because she had to go say goodbye to her grandmother. But here's the thing. Ashley is a girl that I know loves the Lord. And although she's probably feeling very sad, as I think we should, rightfully so, we would all say, yeah, we would feel sad too. She has a peace. She knows that God has everything under control, that he knows what he's doing. And we can experience that peace in our life. If we take this sermon and the Sermon on the Mount and take this little snippet of it tonight and just say, man, Lord, I have been beaten up. And maybe that's you tonight. You're like, I've been beaten up recently. But you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been beaten up. And either I have had my foundation in you, and I need you to continue to strengthen and encourage me and keep me well-grounded. Or you might say, Lord, I haven't. I have put my house upon the sand, and it's starting to give way underneath. Here's the great thing about our Lord. We can transport our house. He can, like, pick it up and drop it back on the rock. It's like one of those mobile homes or something, I guess. It's not permanent. If you haven't already founded yourself upon the rock, you can pray tonight, Jesus, I want to be founded upon you, the only sturdy, solid thing there is, so that when trouble comes, or right now in the middle of this trouble, I can have a peace, I can have a joy, and I can know that you are in control and that everything is going to be okay. Now, what does that mean, everything's going to be okay? Because we say that a lot. But here's, as a believer, as a Christian, we can look at a world that says the worst thing that can happen to you is death. right? I mean, if you ask, if you take a random poll of people in the mall or something and say, what's the absolute worst thing that could happen to you? Well, I could die in this way. And it's usually some horrible way, like drowning or something. But that is the worst thing that a person can imagine, especially an unbeliever. But for the Christian, for us, tonight we can have this peace and we can honestly say that the day we die, the day a believer goes home to be with the Lord, is the happiest day of their life. Because they're leaving behind the pain, the struggles, the problems that we have here on earth, and we have heaven to look forward to. What an awesome thing to be able to just have our foundation on the Lord Jesus, the rock. And he wants to give us that. And he wants us to use him as a foundation and be solid in him. Lord, we worship you tonight and we praise you for what you've done and what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that everyone here would walk away tonight just being filled up with you. Lord, we want to go in boldness, declaring the good news, and just having joy on our faces because you are awesome. Lord, we worship you, we praise you tonight. We give you the rest of this evening and the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.